This sermon is titled, Walking in Peace. Be enriched as you listen.
Each of us here know the Lord Jesus, I believe. And this faith that we have is the foundation of our relationship with God. Our faith is that foundation of our relationship with God. But that faith is not meant to stand alone. In the Bible, it says that our faith is also expressed by the way we live. So our faith is just not a belief that we hold. Our faith is how we live it. It's how we walk it. And it's our faith that connects us to Christ, but how we live in love, how we live in truth, how we live in holiness is the way others see Jesus. And so we are going to consider how you and I should be living. What does it mean to walk the Christian life? And last week we started off walking in love. And today we're going to be looking at walking in peace. Walking in peace. So peace is a word that keeps going around now. It's a deeply longed for concept. Would you agree? Everyone wants peace. And people will go to different lengths to find peace. You go to the mountains, you go for pilgrimages, you go to a therapist. You do many things to find peace. And why so? Because you and I live in a world where there are so many pressures and challenges and hardships. Everywhere we turn, we're going through something or the other that takes away that sense of peace. And so we need to reclaim it back, because without peace, we have sleepless nights, we have palpitations, we don't know what the future holds. So it's something that you see all around, maybe including all of us, we look for ways to find it. And so there are many things that can disturb our inner peace. First and foremost, it is things that may be external, things that happen outside of us. Maybe it's something someone said to you or something somebody did to you. Now, some statements someone said to you, it keeps running in your ears. Between your ear and your head, it's there. It's playing in loops. And that destroys your peace. You're worrying about, why did they say that? What made them say that? Am I this way? Am I that way? It goes on and it steals that peace. Or if that isn't enough, you have the daily news that steals your peace. And if we've been around the last 5 years, we know how COVID hit us all globally. And each of us went through that moment of fear. And as recently as the last 1 month, we know of the tension that's been there between India and Pakistan. And we've got that. What if this happens? What if that happens? And that steals our peace. Now, it's just not external sources that steal our peace. Even there can be internal things that steal our peace. Sometimes it's those unresolved emotions. It's probably grief. You may have lost a loved one all of a sudden without any warning. And there is that sense of pain that you're carrying. Or it may be a betrayal. Or someone's just walked out of your life. And that bitterness continues to be there. That why? And that steals you from that joy. Or it could be guilt and shame of things that maybe you've done at some point of time. You can't shake your head of what has happened. You carry that. Or it could be fear of the future. Where am I going? What's ahead of me? Who will I marry? Where are my kids going to go? Where's my house going to be? Where am I going to get my next meal? It's a fear of rejection. Or it could be just anxieties or responsibilities that you have. So at this point of time, I'm sandwiched. I'm sandwiched between elderly parents and young kids who are going to fly off the nest. And that brings that sense of unrest. That what's going to happen? How are we going to manage all of this? And if none of this has fazed you, we often go into this mode of analysis paralysis. You know, you're getting to bed, that one thought, you analyze it over and over again till you're paralyzed and you can't sleep. So these are all things that actually steal our peace. And I'm sure every one of us have experienced this at some point of time. The what ifs. What is going to happen? What if this happens? Now, a lack of peace, unfortunately, comes with some symptoms. It's a disease, you know? It comes with symptoms. So the first and foremost thing is your physical symptom. What happens? You lose sleep. You're tossing and turning in your bed. Your pillow becomes your best friend. You're talking to him. Or it becomes, and you know, you experience, I know, digestive issues and headaches, and you fall sick often because you're being stressed. You go to the doctor, what's the doctor going to say? Stress. Now do something about it and get better. There are emotional symptoms that come, emotional and mental symptoms. You know, there's anxiety, there's panic, there's depression. You know, in schools and colleges, this is a key word. I had a panic attack. And why? Because there's so much going on and there is unrest. Or it can even be just being having a difficulty to function, not able to make decisions, not able to concentrate at work, not being able to pay attention. You know, and that affects your relationships. You're getting snappy, getting irritable, getting angry. And of course, lastly, it affects our relationship with God. We doubt God. Say, God, where are you? So the symptoms of the illness of a lack of peace. And so what are we going to do today to learn what the Bible says? What are some of the instructions and truths that the Bible gives in order to deal or to have maintain a sense of calm and maintain a sense of peace? And the Bible gives us those instructions despite whatever may be happening around you. The storms, the hardships, the all kinds of clutter and noise around you, the Bible has some instructions. And that's what we are going to look at today. So are we ready? All right. So what does the Bible say? The Bible reminds us that peace comes from God. It is not from the world. That peace is from God and not from the world. What does the peace of the world look like? The peace of the world is extremely temporary. You know, the minute you feel a sense of unrest, you could probably go take a quick walk, you could go have a jog, you call a friend, and you feel better. But then within seconds, it comes back on its loop. So it's very temporary. It's circumstantial. It's like you needing control. You know, it says, if this is okay, then I have peace. If I have this much of money in my bank balance, I have peace. If this relationship was sorted out, I have peace. If I got this job, I have peace. If I got to marry that man, I have peace. So it's extremely circumstantial. It's transitory. It keeps changing, but you get back into that same place where you are at. So the peace of the world is like building on sand. The storm comes and whoosh, the house is gone. But what does the Bible say? Let's read together John 14, 27. It reads, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus has made a distinction that the peace of God, the peace of Jesus, is very unlike the peace of the world. It's not like the peace of the world. John 16:33. That's another thing that Jesus says. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So what kind of peace are we talking about? We are talking about the God kind of peace. The peace that comes from Jesus, and the peace that comes from when you are in Jesus. So how do we understand this? The peace that comes from Jesus is everlasting. It's there to stay. It never leaves. The peace that comes from the Lord is a peace that prevails every situation or every storm that you are going through. Those trials and those tribulations are still there. They don't go away. But you experience that peace of God. Let's look at an example from the Bible. The example of Paul and Silas. You know, they were thrown into prison for preaching. They were thrown into prison. They were beaten. And they were jailed. They were in stocks. But what's their response? What's their response? They were singing. Can you imagine singing after being flogged, after being in prison? Some of us go to the police station and we're knocking on our knees. But no matter what the circumstance, you see that Paul and Silas was filled with the peace that came from God, from just knowing that God is orchestrating all of this. And that's the peace that they had. So no matter what goes around, whether you're in a police station, in a hospital, in a boardroom, not knowing what to say, it's that peace that comes from Jesus. The peace that comes from Jesus does not just bring us calm, but it also brings about good cheer. What does Jesus say? Be of good cheer. It brings about a sense of joy. And I believe that's why Paul and Silas were able to sing. Because of that good cheer, that sense of joy, knowing that Jesus has overcome the world. So wherever you are, or whatever your place, whatever your unrest situation is, when you know that the peace comes from God, you know that Jesus has conquered everything. And that doesn't trouble us. Even that tribulation doesn't trouble us because that peace comes from God. So it's that sense of joy that comes. The peace in Jesus comes with who you are in Him. What your position is in Him. So think of a cagey child, a kindergarten child who goes to school and is being bullied by another child. If his mama or his dada were next to him, what would he say? Come fight me. Because he knows or she knows who's standing by. My dad's there, my mom's there. That's the kind of peace that we have in Jesus, because we know our dad's there. And no bully can fight you. No bully of hardship or a storm can fight you. Because you have the peace in knowing that you are in Him. You are in Him. And He is the one taking care of you. So, if peace were to reign in your heart, trouble can never have entry. Trouble or fear can never have entry. You know, both light and darkness cannot be accommodated in your heart. So the same way, the peace of God and trouble and fear do not match. You know, if you know magnetic fields, they repel. They can't stay together. So when the peace of God is in you, trouble and fear has no entry. And we see that, we see Jesus saying that in John 14, 27. He says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here there is almost an instruction saying, hey, don't let your heart be troubled. No, don't do it. Don't have it. If you look at the Passion Translation, it translates as don't yield to fear. Don't yield to fear or be troubled in your hearts. Instead, be courageous. So what's the word telling you? It says don't. When you say don't cross the road, you don't cross the road. When it says don't be troubled, you do not be troubled. So it says do not allow for entry. Don't allow, don't give it an inch even, you know. Fear is such a thing. You give it a little spot, it wants to feel extremely cozy. It's like my dog. Give her a little space and she wants a lot more. So don't give it an inch because it'll catch on a foothold. And so we should maintain ourselves in a place of peace where fear or anxiety does not overcome us. So what we are going to be doing, the sermon's just starting. All of this was introduction. We're going to be looking at biblical truths and biblical practices to not let our hearts be troubled or to not give trouble and fear any entrance. So are you there with me? How many of us really want to hear it? Okay, some of you don't, but I'm sorry, I don't think you have a choice. Because one day, when you are in fear, this will come handy to you. Okay, so let's look at some biblical practices. And I'm sure you've heard all of this, you've read all of this, but it's also good to reiterate this over and over again because it just encourages us to go on living in peace. So the first one, it is to have faith in God. Faith in God. In John chapter 14, verse 1, it reads, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So when you read this verse, Jesus connects maintaining peace with believing in God and believing in Jesus. He connects the two. If you want to maintain peace, so it's written, let not your heart be troubled. So in other words, it's saying, if you want peace, believe in God and believe in Him, meaning Jesus. So we don't let our hearts be troubled because we know who Jesus is. We know what Jesus did for us. He came in flesh. So when we have our faith in Him and what He's done on the cross, who He is and what He has promised, and what He will do, that becomes the basis of our faith, that basis of knowing that we have that peace in Him. So having faith in Him. Let's look at some examples from Jesus' ministry. And this is a very widely quoted story. In the middle of the storm, Jesus in peace is sleeping, resting. But what about the disciples? They're all distressed, they're worried, they're fretting, they are in bad shape. And they wake up Jesus and say, Lord, do something. And what does Jesus do? He rebukes and calms the waves and the storm. And what does Jesus do at that time? He turns to his disciples and he says, where is your faith? I have been with you all along. You have seen me all along. Where is your faith? And that's what Jesus is asking you and me today. When we are going through the storms of life, it feels like being in that boat. The question comes, where is your faith? So what do you see from this? What do we learn from this? In the middle of that storm, in the middle of all of that water that's gushing over and over, the disciples needed to be strong and have their faith in God. And that's what God's calling for us, calling to us to do. In that place of a storm, needing to be strong and have that faith in God. Because this keeps us in a place of peace and strength. And what did Jesus show us that we should do in a place of storm? Allow it to go through us. Allow it to just, you know, sit down and just feel the strength of the storm. No, it says to command and to rebuke the waves, to rebuke the wind, to rebuke the storm. That's what he calls us to do. To be in a place of peace with calm assurance, knowing that we have put our trust and our faith in Jesus, and we can command those waves, command those storms, command those hardships, because we know whose we are. Another example that we see is Jairus, who comes to Jesus because his daughter is ill and is at the point of death. So Jairus runs to Jesus and tells him about his daughter. And while Jesus is working in another miracle, some of his servants come up and says something a father hates to hear. Your daughter is dead. So you can imagine the commotion, the grief, the numbness, the shock that Jairus had in that reality. And so the servants say, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter is dead. But what is Jesus knowing and seeing what Jairus probably was going through say? Mark 5:36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken by the servants, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, what did he say? Do not be afraid. Only, come on church, only believe. So what was Jesus instructing Jairus to do? Jairus, stay in a place of faith, not a place of fear. Jesus addresses him directly and say, stay in a place of faith, even in the middle of this irreversible situation. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's what he's saying to you today. You may have come here with an irreversible situation that absolutely sees no avenues of change. And that's the word he has for you. As soon as the word was spoken, Jesus said, do not be afraid, only believe. This reminds us of what the psalmist said about the person who fears God. Psalm 112, verse 7. It reads, he will not be afraid of evil tidings, no matter what your evil tiding is. A bad medical report, a bad report in your marriage, a bad report card of your children, a rejection at a college, a rejection at a university. It says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Bad news, trouble, uncertain circumstances can cause us to, it destabilizes us. But this verse shows us the posture of a person whose heart has their trust in the Lord. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 25 to 26 says, do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your what? Confidence, no, and will keep your foot from being caught. Now this should be our declaration. If you look at that verse, it brings about everything. It says sudden terror, trouble from the wicked, whatever comes, do not fear, because the Lord is your confidence. So declare with me right now, loud, bold, and strong. The Lord is my confidence, no matter the terror or trouble. Okay, confidence needs to, you know what confidence means? You've seen cheerleaders at RCB? Victory? That's what it means. The Lord, louder, the Lord is my confidence, no matter the trouble or terror. So that's what we are going to go with, our victory chant. So have faith in God. Let's look at the next one, which is to release our anxieties in prayer. To release our anxieties in prayer. Now this verse, if I wake any of you from sleep, will be able to say it. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, this is a recipe. So we're going to look at the ingredients of this recipe. And there are three main ingredients in chapter 6. Okay, so what does it say? The first one, it says, be anxious for nothing. Period. Don't let anxiety dominate you. Don't let it have the power over you. Full stop. That's the first ingredient that comes in. You refuse to give entry to any form of anxiety or fear. So you know when it comes, because it doesn't actually ask you your permission. But when you know that it comes, you don't allow it to take root. So some of you may live in apartments, right? And in your apartment, you have a gatekeeper. You have your guards, security guards. What do those guys do, or what are they supposed to be doing? They are supposed to vet people before they come in. They will ask you, who do you want to meet? What's your purpose? Why are you there? If they have any clue that they're going to mug you, they won't let you in. They say no entry. And your mind and my mind is like that gatekeeper. You have the fear and the anxiety that knocks at the door and says, hey, I want to walk in. What do you say? No entry. So it says, be anxious about nothing. Don't let anxiety dominate you. Refuse to give that an entry. Instead, what do you do? The second ingredient. In every situation, turn to God in prayer and supplication. That's your first lifeline. Unfortunately, we have many other lifelines. Call a friend. Go to your therapist. None of this are bad, honestly. None of these are bad. But where do you go to first? Go to God in prayer. He knows. He doesn't need a 2-page introduction for your stress. He knows. You go and say, Papa, help. I need you to help me, Dad. I'm in a mess. I go to God with that situation in everything. It doesn't say some of the things are not in my league. It says everything by prayer and supplication. Go to Him. The third one is to engage with thanksgiving. It says with thanksgiving. So it says even before the stress is gone, you're saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, that it's gone. You've done this for me. You've done it for me. So we go with a heart of thanksgiving, knowing what He has done and what He will do. It's with that confidence that I can go. When my kids want a donut, they'll say, Ma, donut, thanks, even before I bought it, because they know that I will get it, because they know who they have asked. So in the same way, when I ask my dad, when I ask my heavenly dad, I know it's done. And I go back and say, thank you, God. Thank you. And so what does this do? If you look at verse 7, these three simple actions promise you something. And then out comes your cake, right? The recipe, we've said a recipe, right? So out comes your cake, and that's in verse 7. What does it say? It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So it says, these three ingredients gives you the peace of God. And what does this peace look like? This peace of God looks like nothing you've imagined. It surpasses all your understanding, your knowledge, your intellect, your wisdom. It surpasses that. It's beyond your comprehension. You can't understand it. So don't even figure out, why am I having such peace? Enjoy it. Love it. Because this peace will completely guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. It's like a tower. It fortifies you in the midst of whatever you're going through. That's the promise that he has given. So, the next time you experience a struggle, remember the recipe for peace. Be anxious about nothing. Go to God in prayer with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. Now, we want to note that when we turn to God in prayer and supplication, we must release any kind of underlying cause that creates that disturbance or that unrest or that lack of peace. For example, you may be deeply troubled because of a broken relationship, or you may have been betrayed by a close friend, or rejected by somebody in your family, or even have heard rumors about someone, something your family has said about you. And what happens when this happens? There is bitterness, there's anger, there's that unforgiveness that sticks on. Life moves on. But every time you think of the person, you see the person, all of that just comes rushing out. That lack of peace, you just don't feel good. And that's because there is that bitterness or hurt or anger, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness that's actually taken root. And that's what's stealing your peace. So if there is a rotten apple, you've got to take that out first. And so, that's something that we may need to come to, is to be able, in this case, maybe come to a place of forgiveness. Because the root issue of unforgiveness is still lying there, is still dormant there, and has not yet been released. So when we hold on to that resentment or that unforgiveness, your heart will continue to be at unrest. But when we choose to release and say, Lord, take this away from me. I want to have a heart of forgiveness. Because the more that I hold on to unforgiveness, it's like I'm consuming the poison that I'm hoping they will have. So when I take away, when I pray and I say, Lord, help me forgive, that's when the peace of God comes in. So let's remember that if there is anything that stands as a root cause for our lack of peace, we go to God, get ourselves had a surgery there so we can come back to have the peace. Amen? Are you all with me? All right, okay. Let's move on. The third practice, to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. To keep our mind stayed on the Lord. The Bible tells us to keep our mind, our thoughts, our imaginations, our emotions, everything that we have here in between our ear and our head, to be stayed on God. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, this is probably a very difficult thing to do, to keep our mind stayed on God. You know, when a problem arises, we as humans, we tend to want to do something, which is to fix it. Any problem comes, we fix it. We want to find a way to do something about it. That's why, you know, when you have your little toddler come up to you crying, say, stop crying, fix it. It's okay, I fix the emotion and we're done with. And that's what we tend to do in our lives. We just want to fix our problem. We want to solve our problem, analyze it, reason it, have the 10 options in mind, and then go over it again, get the 11th one, go over it once more and get two more. That's what we want to do. Just analyze and analyze. And what happened? Like I said, it leads us to a place of being paralyzed. And we overthink and think over a matter so much so that we've come to a place of confusion. We just don't know what to do. We have absolutely no clarity. But what does God say? He says he has promised us perfect peace as we keep our mind rested on him. Our mind is stayed on him. And we do this deliberately. So anytime if we find ourselves wandering off into that fear or that anxiety, call it back. Pull it back. It's like a little kid going into an ice cream store fifth time. You won't permit, you will take him by the collar and pull him back. You say, enough is enough. So whenever you find your mind racing out into thoughts, pull it back. Something that I tell my people who come in for counseling is, you know, one way to pull it back, put a rubber band on your hands. Every time you catch yourself getting into that loop of anxious thoughts, give it one yank. It'll jolt you up and say, my mind has to be stayed on God. You need some of that to waken the sleepy head of anxiety. So whenever you find yourself getting into a place of anxiety, pull back and keep your mind stayed on him and keep it anchored there on the Lord, especially in the nights. Rather than thinking about what ifs, go back to and say, God, the beautiful things that you have done. Keep your mind stayed on him. Amen? Am I speaking to people here? Amen. Okay, and so let's look at the last one. It is to stay in a place of rest. Finally, we must return and rest in the Lord. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." But it says, but you would not. So where does our peace come from? In rest and returning and quietness and confidence, not in the noise and the clutter of what's happening. And how do we look at this practically? What are some practical ways that we can look at choosing a place of quietness and calmness in God? One, yes, a physical place of rest. Actually going to a place where you can stay in the natural. Being in quietness and stillness is extremely important. Keep your phones away. Not on the notifications of your phone, but keeping that away, just experiencing the stillness that comes from God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still. It's only in the stillness that when we are physically able to keep away every noise that we do see who is God. Otherwise, you're taking that position of lordship because you're going on looking at options. It says, be still and know that I am God. So a physical space is great. But our focus is more a place of spiritual and emotional returning and resting. coming to God and says, God, I've clamored through this and I'm done. But I want to come back and find rest in knowing that you have it all taken care of. My lunch is made. You have it all. I don't have to keep worrying. That place of emotional rest. It would also mean ensuring that you keep maybe healthy boundaries in relationships that may be toxic. If there are people that you relate with or that you are in a relationship with who always drains you, who brings a lack of peace, finding a place of rest, finding a place of healthy distance is also an important thing. And of course, a place of rest comes when we keep ourselves grounded on the promises of God, grounded on the Word of God. That's where we find our rest, find all that we need. You know, a hymn, Standing on the Promises of God, speaks this so beautifully. Standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. May I request the worship team to please come up. So as we come to a close, I just would like to bring a reminder of what Gideon went through. Gideon, at the time, was a time when the Israelites were in such fear of the Midianites coming and destroying them. So much so, you know, Gideon was found working in some crevice in the mountain, all in an obscure place. And that's when the angel of the Lord comes to him and calls him out for a mission. And Gideon, like most of us, or like all of us, tremble in fear. Say, God, no, this is not me. I can't do this. And he finally says, God, I've seen your face and I will die. But this is what Gideon is, what God reveals to Gideon. God reveals that peace is a person. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. The Lord you and I worship is peace. Peace is a person. And we have that peace when we are in Him. So even as you go out into your daily week, I don't know what you have coming up against you. Who do you have on your side? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is peace. The Lord who gives you peace. The Lord who is peace for you. He is the Prince of Peace, the Giver of Peace. No one else gives you peace like He does. So keep that in your heart as you step out today. And in summary, just quickly looking at what we heard today, we know that peace is from God, not from the world. We ensure that trouble and fear should not have an entry. And how do we do that? When we have our faith in God, we release our anxieties in prayer, when we have our mind stayed on Him, and when we stay in a place of rest. Amen. Can we all stand? And let's take some time to just be ministered to. If you have your mind crowded, you say the word, be still, and know that He is God. Be still. Whatever is crowding your mind today, you command what He said to still. To still the waves, to still the storm, to still the noise, to still the chatter, to still the confusion, because you know that He is God.
So hide me now under your wings and cover me within your mighty hands and find rest my soul in Christ alone. Know His power in quietness and trust. So when the oceans rise and die,
Father, we thank You that You are our peace. You are Jehovah Shalom. Lord, You have called us to walk in peace. Father, I pray, God, for Your people right now. Jesus, in situations that they may be going through that creates anxiety, that creates fear, Lord, we just look to You because we know that You are God. And that's Your command to us, Lord. Be still. And so even as I speak this to You, be still. Imagine the peace of God washing away every form of anxiety, every form of fear. Everything that comes against you to steal your peace. Just want to speak to those of you who have problems sleeping in the night because of these thoughts that keep coming over and over again. It's almost like an obsession. The Word of God says, "In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For You, O Lord, are the one who keeps me safe, who helps me dwell in safety." Psalm 4:8. I lie down and sleep in peace. So for all of you who have the struggle, it's the Lord who brings you to a place of safety. Whatever you're worrying about, those thoughts that keep you awake in the night, He has promised safety. If any of you are worried about a report that is to come, maybe it's a medical report or it's an admission report, or a marks card report. He calls you to join His peace, to be covered in His peace. He knows. He knows even before you have gone in for that test or you've gone into that hospital. He knows. And He's the one who will surround you with His peace. If there is a lack of peace in your home, in your family, in your relationships, do what God says. Be anxious about nothing, but bring your requests, bring that relationship to God in supplication with thanksgiving, knowing that He wants your hearts to be reconciled with thanksgiving. And you will see the peace of God that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. If there is an unrest about your future, about where you're going, what it looks like, the Lord has promised you in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans. He says, I know. So if He knows, I don't have to be in that place of unrest. I know the plans I have for you, a plan to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. There is no need to be at that place of unrest because He knows. Whatever your situation may be, the Word of God says, the Lord is your confidence, no matter the trouble or terror. Heavenly Father, we just give You praise and glory for Your Word. Because peace comes from You. Our peace is in You. As we position ourselves in You, O God, we have the peace of God. We pray that we will go out into this world bold. We will walk this life boldly because we know who is our peace giver. We know who is our peace giver. Father, we thank You for shalom. Thank You, Lord, for total well-being in our body, in our mind, in our soul, in our spirit. Thank You, Father, for the peace that You have given us. Lord, I speak Your word over Your people, Father, that their minds will be stayed on You, that they will experience the peace that comes from thinking of You, from imagining You, from visualizing what the word is. I pray that peace will come forth, Father. Thank You, Father. You have done this for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. I also want to open this opportunity for any who may have not received Jesus as their personal Savior. The gospel is very simple. It says that God loved you so much that He gave His one and only begotten Son, Jesus, to die for you. And when you believe in Him, you will have eternal life. It says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. I just want to pray a prayer with you. If you are led to pray this and you're not, you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I'd like to lead you in a prayer you can repeat after me. Oh Lord Jesus, I confess my sin before You. I confess my sin before You. I know that You have taken away my sin to redeem me, to make me one of You, to make me Your child. And right now, I invite You into my heart and I confess You as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We trust this message was a blessing to you. For more free resources, including sermons, sermon notes, and books, please visit apcwo.org. For information on APC Bible College in Bangalore, visit apcbiblecollege.org. Do remember to download the All People's Church Bangalore app from the Apple or Google Play Store.